This episode is sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. They asked us not to read an ad. Enjoy the show. Mobility is good, but the real issue is the pain. I wish Zoe knew more about that sort of thing. Oh, hi, is this Dave?
It's Jess? I knew you said you had a ton of crushes. I didn't think you would move on that quickly.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry. I'm glad you're still talking to me. Hi. How have you been? Any luck finding your friend?
No. But thanks for asking. Anywho, you've been busy from what I've been hearing.
Oh, you know, just stole some dinosaur bones just to help some people, just a usual day. How's Indiana?
It's Indiana, after the apocalypse. So, no difference.
Yeah, sorry I asked.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. I've been actually working at the makeshift hospital. Since I don't need to bother with my multiple years of training to become a PhD, ha, no more student loans.
Oh my gosh, right. You're a medical student. I have an idea. So, I don't know if you can help with this, but the reason we stole the bones was that we were trying to help these women that we met that they've got something, some sort of illness that makes their joints and limbs swell, and they're in a lot of pain, and so I was wondering if maybe you have any ideas about how to help out with the pain?
Was a medical student. Wait, do you know if they got sick recently or before the eruption?
Recently, I think. Why?
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear what?
Joe, I think those women have Marie's disease. It's some sort of joint and bone disease. We've been trying to study it while keeping the hospital running. The researchers aren't 100% sure what causes it because it's not through the air or contact. All we know it has to do with the volcano since it only started showing in humans recently.
Oh, cool. A new paranoia. Can't wait to tell Zoe.
This is the After Disaster Broadcast, created by J.J. Ranvier.
Fellow survivors, if the devil is in the details, there's definitely some sort of demonic possession happening when it comes to timing. Trying to find a chance to tell everyone about what I learned from Jess about Marie's disease has been way harder than it should be. 'Cause when is a good time to tell everyone that there's a new and mysterious thing to fear? Like, hey, I know we're worried about being attacked, and Zoe's got 1,100 other ways we could die, so let me make it 1,101. How do we prevent it? No one knows! The problem started being that every farking time that I would normally maybe, you know, strike up a conversation or we'd have a moment of rest, something else would come up. For instance, the second I got off the ham radio, that would have been a good time. We had to say goodbye to all the women because Miranda had finally agreed to help them, and it was the one time it had stopped snowing outside, so we wanted to take advantage of that. But then also we had to trudge through several inches of snow, testing the limits of her shoes, which have already been put to their absolute limit already. And, you know, that wasn't exactly the best time. But, like, walking around is still a nice neutral time to bring things up. And so, then, I thought, Maybe now I should think about it. And then Elliot, Mix, I'm from the East Coast and no snow, managed to slip on some ice and fall right on their butt. When I say I miss Chicago, the random ice patches are not what I'm thinking of. Thankfully, they seem just a little bit hurt, like maybe their tailbone is a little bit bruised, but otherwise they seem to be walking just fine. And I could have just kept not saying anything. There's always a new problem to focus on when you're trying to survive. Why give us more? But I decided to suck it up once we had found a building that had a minimal amount of snow in it, and we decided to settle for the night. Scout had just made a fire to keep us warm when I told them everything I know, which is not much. Even Scout was stunned into silence. While everyone was mulling it over, the only person who said anything was Ji-hun with a simple, "That's concerning." Before we could spend the whole night doing one of my favorite things, contemplating our mortality, we heard something outside. When we heard the first howl, Zoe ran to the window to see and tell us all that it was indeed a very cute dog, like all the other stray dogs we had seen, or she had seen at least. But before she could tell us another tale about Walnut, pun not intended, but before she could, another dog started barking back at the first dog, and then another dog howled at him, and another, and while Scout was being reminded by the first dog of a story she wanted to tell us about her cousins and the strangest things that they had tried to turn into pets, every time she attempted to finish a sentence, she'd get interrupted by a new howl. So she turned to G and was like, "All right, we gotta do my grandma's favorite trick. A little bit of whiskey should make them sleep, and Ji-hun, I know you've got some." Unsurprisingly, she did not willingly give it up, but instead was like, "That would be a waste of one of our most precious resources." So, here we are. After a few hours of attempting to sleep through a new howl every 10 minutes, we've decided it's better just to walk the few miles out of the city. Not that I was going to be able to sleep anyway with that. What the fark is that? So, you know the saying, we'll burn that bridge when we get to it? Well, it looks like someone or something has beat us to it. Correction. It's not the bridge that's on fire. It's the river that's on fire. I forgot rivers could do that. But thankfully, after an inspection of the area, it looks like it was just caused by the river being disgusting and a piece of hot ash from the sky. Love a good piece of hot ash. Glad it wasn't man-made. So, don't know how to fix something? Don't have Google anymore? Time to send your librarian to the library with a redneck as protection. Elliot, library update?
So the first library we found was a college library, and I love me a good college library. Though my college library wasn't as cool as this one. This place was a tech or an engineering library. It has like a bunch of machines out front that Scout tried to climb, but she got a leg cramp, so she's back on the ground again. We're gonna have to move on, though, because I guess the college students were here. I think they had a rager? Do you call it a rager? I call it a rager. Scout swept the place for me. It took a bit because of her leg cramps, and she only found beer cans and piles of lovely textbooks off their shelves. They all smell like old pee. I think they peed on the textbooks, so I wasn't able to check those. What a waste of a good book.
Well, that's just gross. So you didn't find anything?
There's always something in a library, Joe. Like this one had a History of Ohio display in the hallway. I learned so much. Like the river catching on fire was actually pretty common. Like so bad, they changed pollution laws. Though I guess they don't follow those anymore now that they're dead. I looked so hard, but I couldn't find anything about how they put it out. Just how gross and oily the river was. Oh geez, Scout is trying to play beer pong with the table that was set up in the book return section, and oh no, she just took a sip of the beer. I'm gonna go make sure she's okay.
Location update? Sitting around with G and Zoe in an abandoned warehouse, keeping an eye on the river in case it just stops burning on its own without us doing anything. It's like a small enough fire that we could possibly fight it, and we're gonna try because we have to get across the bridge, but it's big enough that the bridge over the river is just totally engulfed in smoke. Sitting around was awkward at first. I think a combination of me and G thinking about the last time that we had a hard time getting out of town, plus all of us thinking about Marie's disease. But we're all terrible just waiting around doing nothing, so when Zoe asked if we could share a snack, G actually said yes. Ration Police Ji-hun let us eat something so we had something to do. That or she was hungry too. Either way, Zoe perked up immediately. I thought she was about to tell us a story about how someone got murdered with a knife they made out of chips and then they immediately ate it to hide the evidence. That's something I'd expect. But instead, she told us about how much better everything has been since she's been traveling with us. The sudden genuineness, that's a word, got me and even G. Her mouth twitched up slightly, but I swear she has such a soft spot for Zoe and Elliot. I made a joke about how easily Zoe's affection can be bought with food, not judging, me too. But she said it was more about how alone she was before. How people in that town were polite before everything ended, then ignored her as soon as crap started getting for real, and then became downright hostile at times long after. She told us all this while smiling, even laughed at how all the weird little precautions she took not to get murdered before the end of the world served her well after, you know, just overly looking her shoulder every move she would make, you know, never, ever, ever traveling at night. And she even at one point did manage to fend off someone using her keys like, you know, one of those homemade brass knuckles, but she did nearly break her hand. I bet Zoe is the kind of person that would smile even when her hand is broken. But yeah, I assumed that everyone was being awful to her because, well, people are racist. But Ji-hun actually asked her why. And Zoe got really quiet and left us both wondering, what sort of awful thing was she about to tell us? Is she secretly, though before I could even finish that thought, she told us. It turns out she's an abortion doctor. Not just a gynecologist. A gynecologist that specializes in giving people abortions. And people don't really like that. And I think she was a little bit more than relieved when Ji-hun, without a second thought, responded to it with, "That's badass." And I'm just stunned. But mostly just trying to keep from being nosy. She revealed how much people in the town hated her for her job, so I didn't want to, you know, start asking her questions that might bring up some bad memories, but I wanted to know about, like, I don't know, the protesters, or just, I don't know, how abortions work. Oh, darn it. I think the stray dogs are back. Shart. So, there's a lot of them. I hope Elliot is having more luck than us, because we're gonna need it soon.
Joe, I found another library, the second library. It's actually really cute, and it doesn't seem like it's been mutilated as much. I mean, there's ash, and all the poor plants are dead, but otherwise, it's totally fine. The door is not even locked, though Scout smashed the door with her axe anyway. Okay, if I can figure out their system, I can find some books on firefighting and rivers. The great thing about libraries is if you know the system, you can find out where you are and what you are looking for. They were doing a summer reading program. All the posters are still up. And the streamers. Till Scout tore them down for fun. It's a lot like the library I went to as a kid. Different layout, but it looks and even smells the same. Those weird wooden tables that I used to hang out under because they had those weird covers. If I got tired, I could put my books on top and crawl underneath and take a nap. Like originally, my parents tried to set me up in other after-school programs, but I didn't really get along with the kids. But at the library, no one would talk to me. I could just look at books. And if I needed any help, I could ask librarians, Miss Cheryl and Miss B. They would ask me about school even though I didn't say much. They would recommend harder and harder books. They showed me the microfilm and the piles of old newspapers. Oh, newspapers! I wonder if this library has newspapers about other river fires. Scout was grabbing me some books, but got tired and sat down, so newspaper time. Not much here, but I found a book, mostly stuff about house fires, and I don't think we have enough baking soda or a big enough pan to put on it. Okay, natural disasters. They have to either get rid of the oxygen or get rid of the source of the fuel. And its main suggestions are underground nuclear explosion, which seems a bit hard, or using dynamite to blow away the flame. I mean, I could maybe make a little dynamite, but I don't know if it would be enough, and I mean, maybe I could. But I'd need inflammable material, since fighting fire with fire doesn't work well in this situation. Oh! Scout perked up! No, Scout, we're not using explosions. Maybe there's an alternate way of doing the same thing? Like, if we need to move the fire, like, with a lot of air? Like if the lake was a birthday cake, we need to birthday the fire. Does that make sense? No. Wait, there was a wind turbine in front of the other library.
Wait, just to be clear, we are not making dynamite, right? Fellow survivors, it's been a hectic few hours, and the only way I can sum it up is woof. Partly because it involved dogs, but also because it's all been just woof. I really, really started to get worried we would never escape between the fire and the dogs. Like, the dogs were at the warehouse door, and I think we were accidentally in their territory, and even Zoe went from saying how cute they were to wondering if they wanted to eat us. And then describing a time someone murdered someone and fed the... Anyway. Then, after a few moments of paranoid pacing, she stuck her finger in the air like she was poking an imaginary floating light bulb and was like, they're probably just hungry. And with G's permission and G's superior throwing arm, we threw some food out the window and ran the FARC away. But that created a new problem, because there's always new problems. The dogs now know we have food and came looking for more, following us, or like the scent of our food, all the way to where we met up with Elliot. But I'm still here talking to you on the radio, so you know they didn't need us. But even better, Zoe had another light bulb moment. She realized that, like me, these animals are extremely food motivated. So why not put their motivation to good use and help us move the wind turbine to the river? Because Scout tried to give it one push, got tired, and gave up. And it's a model wind turbine, so it's like a tenth of the size of a regular one, so maybe all of us could have moved it over several hours, and then give several hours for the fire on the river to spread. So, instead, in one of the craziest moments we've had in a while... Seriously, this is one of the craziest things we've done... We, well, mostly Jihoon, because the rest of us were kind of afraid. slip-leashed a bunch of stray dogs. And if that wasn't crazy enough, we tied them to the wind turbine to make them pull it, and, well, it was supposed to be Elliot, but the second they hopped on the bike, they remembered their tailbone being sore, and it turned out to be me. I did something brave. I biked ahead, dangling some meat to make the dogs chase me and pull the wind turbine to the river. And if that wasn't crazy enough, we all took turns distracting the dogs while the other four yanked on the pulley system that Elliot rigged up to make the fan spin, because this wasn't, you know, weird enough. Like, how did this all work? Are we just that awesome? I think we're just that awesome, because we conquered a river fire. We didn't completely put it out. Everything came together, and we just managed to blow enough smoke away so we could get across the bridge, and then flung the meat as far as possible and ran for it. But here we are, resting on the edges of the city, not a dog or Cinder or dog named Cinder in sight. And I'm trying to rest, but there's a lot on my mind. I mean, like the whole Zoe turning out to be an abortion doctor, that actually wasn't, you know, a bad thing. I got to ask her some more questions about it, and she seemed so relieved, I mean, delighted even, happy to tell me about all the different ways you can have abortions and how the whole process works, and even the best accidentally funny protest sign she's seen on her way into work. Like, like one guy whose sign was supposed to say, "Abortions hurt women," but his handwriting was bad enough that it looked like "Abortions hurl women." Oops. Either way, I think Zoe's happy to have someone be curious about her job and instead of afraid, though it seems like she's still only comfortable talking about it with me and Jihoon. But after all that's happened today, the fire, the dogs, the running on so little sleep, I should be exhausted. I should be so ready to go to sleep, and I am wide awake. Because, fellow survivors, I noticed something. I noticed that Scout had trouble keeping up with us when we ran across the bridge, and that she started walking with a limp. A slight limp, but enough that might indicate that her joints might be swelling. Like that something might be seriously wrong.
Thank you for listening to the After Disaster broadcast. This was written and produced by JJ Ranvier. Thank you to the Nerdalogs for mentoring us and to Cards Against Humanity for letting us use their space. The voice of Joe Prendergast is JJ Ranvier. The outro person is me, Caitlin Robb. Our audio editor is Rory Strawn-Mock. The voice of the artist is Pearl Paramadaluk. The voice of Elliot is J.D. Lee. Enjoyed the podcast? So did we. Subscribe to keep listening to us and leave us a nice review on iTunes. It really helps. JJ reads all of them. Please give her something nice to read. In return, email us at theafterdisasterbroadcast@gmail.com that you did, and we will send you one of our rad stickers as a thank you. Even if you're international, we have international stamps now. The stamps have moons on them. Either way, we're bribing you. To support Joe and her journey to Chicago, please check us out at patreon.com/theafterdisasterbroadcast, where you can support us and get bonus mini-episodes. For more on the broadcast and surviving the apocalypse, check us out on Twitter at AfterDisasterBC or on any media that makes you feel social in this wasteland. And now, we leave you with this. Survival tip. Trapped in an elevator? Jump up and down to get it moving again. Though it might break the cable if you do it too hard, either way, it will get moving again.
This podcast has been produced in association with the Nerdalogs. To find out more about the Nerdalogs and their shows, visit www.nerdalogs.com or facebook.com/nerdalogs. Thanks for listening.